Good evening. I concur with Pastor Brian. I am glad to be in the house. I love it too. I need it. Somebody said, I try to encourage people to go to church. And I said, I love church like he did. Somebody said, you have to love church. It's your job. That's backwards. I loved church way before it was my job.
Amen.
I got in.
Yeah.
I got in from the beginning. I had a lot of catching up to do.
Amen.
And I came to everything, and I met your preacher at the door, and he was opening the door, and I says, "If the Bible says in Psalm 84:10, a day in my courts is better than a thousand. There it goes. In the house of the Lord, in the dwelling tents of wickedness." That was my usher verse. I was an usher for 4 years. Amen. And I went after being an usher with every bit as much enthusiasm as I do being an evangelist. I don't see any difference. Whatever it is you're supposed to do, just do your best. And do the best you can. And somebody said, well, you have to love going to church. And I'm going, I don't love going to church because it's my job. I love going to church so much, God, let it be my job. Amen. So, crazy uncle from North Texas. No, okay. Way north. Sounds good to me. Of course, you know. I don't want to put that there. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, my shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet, when the world gets so dark you can't see. And I've not made a change in one word that it said, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who've gone to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Now its critics are many and believers are few. In one thing I've found to be true, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen.
That makes it one unbelievably powerful book. Amen. All right, thank you, Aunt Wonderful. What's that?
Mrs. Wonderful's class.
Mrs., we're going to have this talk in front of everybody. Absolutely. Amen. Live and in color. Okay. All right. I got a little story for you. So, this guy, there's a guy in San Antonio. One day he was walking down the street and he came upon a vicious pit bull attacking a young boy. And he quickly dove in, grabbed the animal and throttled it with both hands. Saved the kid's life. And a reporter from whatever your newspaper is, saw the incident and congratulated the man. Told him she was going to do an article. And the next day the headline was going to read, "Local man saves child by killing vicious animal." The hero, however, had to tell the journalist that he wasn't from San Antonio originally. And the reporter said, well, then that's okay. The headline will read like this: Texas man saves child from vicious dog. And the guy said, well, actually, I'm not from Texas. Actually, I'm from New York City. And the reporter didn't like that too well. She said, well, in that case, the headline's going to read, Yankee kills family pet. You don't tweak the news, right? Okay. Take your Bible tonight. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Like Brother Brian said, we take the Bible seriously. We take church seriously. What we don't do is we don't take ourselves too seriously, because we have come to see that that's what way too many religionists do. They get to where they take themselves way too seriously. And I don't ever want to run a risk, like we talked about last night, of getting bigger in my own eyes that might cause the Lord Jesus Christ to decrease. I don't want that. So we can laugh at ourselves. And, you know, let's face it, you guys are funny looking. So, you know, better stop there, right? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says this: and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for grace, and thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, for showing us a better way, and thank you for delivering us from what we deserve. Thank you, God, for the privilege to assemble, and thank you, God, for giving us a place and a desire to do so. And thank you, God, for allowing me to come to this place and be a part of this very special family of God for a little while. And, Lord, it is a blessing, an honor, and a privilege. And, Lord God, please manifest yourself tonight. And we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, so it says this. What did it say? We love him. Let me ask you a question tonight. Anybody in here love God? I want to show a hand. Do you love God? Okay, if you do, fine. If you don't, fine. But that's the question. And I'm going to tell you, if you do, and I'm not doubting you, but if you do, it's because he first loved you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, but God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me say it again. If you love God here, it's because he loved you first. Now, I'm going to talk about love here for a minute, and I know that might seem a little strange, but that's perfectly fitting. Love, I know some things about love. Come on in, ladies. Love will make you act different. Amen? Love will make you more laid back, more easygoing. I mean, love will keep you from making such a big, stinking federal case out of every little thing. When you're in love, you're not like that. I'll tell you, that's when you know that you need to do some soul searching and some praying, when every little thing just becomes a big thing. Things you didn't even care about when you're in love. All right? Let me say it again. Love will make you act different. Let me give you an example. The scariest thing I ever did in my life, and I've been in some situations, I won't go into all that. I've been in some situations that should have scared me that didn't, but the scariest thing ever happened to me in my whole life happened when the Lord really did lay it on my heart to ask Mrs. Wonderful back there to marry me. I'm serious. I don't know what I'd have done if she said no. But she did, and I got her at a weak moment, she said yes. I kept wondering, one of these days she's going to wake up and see that big, big skull and crossbones on my back with eyes about that big and scream out in the middle of the night, I can't believe I married Dave Spurgeon, you know. But it wasn't long. We were in our mid-40s, and it was a wonderful time, you know, kind of, I don't know, did we court? I don't even remember. But I know that we spent some time together until the wedding the next day. But no, it was a couple weeks later. And And we, let me tell you something. Both grounded, mature Christians, both been in the ministry of some kind or another for many years at that point, both never went anywhere in a car unchaperoned. Not that because we didn't trust ourselves, but because we have a testimony, and the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. And we pulled into a gas station one time. We were in an old van I had back then, and we had a chaperone in the back, and in the middle of the afternoon pulled up. And it was in that, you know, I don't know if you guys use this expression, but when you're in love, you kind of get googly-eyed, you know. I don't know, do you ever hear that? You heard it now. So, and so I get out of the thing, and we're talking, and we're driving, and I get, pull up the gas pump, and I get out. And I mean, it's like we have to tear each other away for a second so I can go out and pump. So I go out, I get the thing going, I put the nozzle in the gas tank, and not like now, it's to my shame, I have to confess this. Back then, I'd set the handle, and I walked around the van to her window, and she'd roll her window down, and we'd just stand there, and I mean, we're going to be there for at least a minute, we're not going to waste the time. And we're looking at each other, talking to each other, and remember that? Do you remember that? Was that you? Yeah, that was you. Oh, that will not go over well. So then you hear it. You hear the click, and the things fall, and, you know, we tore ourselves away from each other again. I walk back around the van and finish up and get in the car and start to drive away. And we heard this most horrendous noise, and I'd been driving for 30-some years at the time, but I'd never heard this noise before, and I failed to take the nozzle out of the, and hang it back up. And I ripped it out of the pump, and she says, "What was that, David?" And I said, "I don't know, Susan. I will look." I pulled about 10 feet away from the pump, and I look in the mirror, and the van's got a tail it didn't have. And there's the nozzle, and I said, "Give me a second." It didn't bother me. It didn't freak me out. I got out, and I was just past where all the gasoline was spewing. Gas does spew for a little while before that automatic thing kicks in. Take it from somebody that knows. And I reached over, and I took it out, and I hung it back up, and it doesn't even bother me. It doesn't faze me one bit. Gasoline is spreading across. Now it's going under a taxi cab, and the guy's standing there, and he's like looking like this. And I'm going, "Don't worry, everything will be fine." And he said, "That's easy for me to say. I wasn't standing in gasoline." I went into the store. I went around, and they're all like looking out like they had never seen it before. And I go into the store, and I pull out my wallet. I went, "Sorry about that. What do we got to do to fix that?" They said, "Just leave. Please just leave." I didn't even buy pay for the gas. But I'm going to tell you what. Why? I've never done that since. Maybe we should do that on the way home tonight, honey. I was in love. Love. Hey, love will make you act different. Yeah. We're talking about loving God tonight. Yeah. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me ask this again. Anybody love God in here tonight?
Amen.
Anybody love God? If you do, it's because why? He loved you first. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 3. Bible says this, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Amen. If any man, I ask you, you answered in the affirmative, and I got no reason to doubt you, but the Bible says, "If any man love God, the same is known of him." I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to preach on this thought tonight. What are you known for? Bible says in Matthew 12, the tree is known by his fruit. And if you're saved in here tonight, it ought to be, what you're known for ought to be, above all else, you might be known for different things you do or know how to do or enjoy doing, but above all else, if you're saved tonight, above all else, it ought to be known of you that you love God. We can say it in here, but what are you known for? Out there. I tell you something, if you do, if you love God, really, it'll manifest itself in your life way more than just going to church or putting a bumper sticker on your car or just abiding by some long list of do's and don'ts. That's religion. That's not Bible Christianity. I ask you if you love God, and I don't doubt you, but I'm saying if you do, if you really do, it will become what your known for at work, at school, at home. Amen. Amen. You got it? All right, now, number one. Take a Bible, go to Luke 17. Luke 17. This is my love message. I love you tonight. Say, you ain't setting me up again. All right, Luke chapter 17 and verse number 12. Look at this familiar passage, verse 11. We'll start in 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that's the Lord Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were required by Levitical law to stand afar off and even announce that they were lepers. And it says in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, unclean, unclean. Is that what your Bible says? That's what they're supposed to say, but they're in the presence of the king and they knew it. And it says here, it says, Jesus, Master, they had it right. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They went to the right place and they asked the right question. It says in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. He told them what to do, and they did it. And what they asked for was granted. If they'd have stood there and said, no, I want you to do it, or I think there's a different way, or I've been to the priest and he can't help me, or if they came up with all the excuses that so many people come up with when we clearly show them the Bible says, all you got to do is this, they remind me of Naaman in 2 Kings 5, but what about this and what about that, and what about if we just did what the Lord said?
Amen.
These folks did. They did what the Lord said, and it said, and as they went, they were cleansed. All right, let's keep going. Let me see. Verse 15. And one of them, one of the 10%. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, how many of them were healed? All of them. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a, I love this part, loud voice. It's scriptural. That's right. People say, he's so loud. Yeah, okay. Well, Joel Osteen's on channel 700. I don't know, but amen. It says, and with a loud voice, what? Glorified God.
Amen.
How many did that? One. And it didn't even stop with that. He says, and fell down on his face at his feet. What is that a picture of? Worship. Giving him thanks. You know what I'm going to say to you tonight? I asked you if you love God and you said you did, and if any man loved God, he'll be thankful. He'll be thankful. It'll change his direction. He'll be thankful. All right? So we got one guy. What is he known for? One guy is known for coming back, worshiping the Lord, glorifying God, giving thanks. What are the other nine known for? Look in verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Absolutely, he knew. But where are the nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee what? Oh, now, 10 lepers healed, only one made whole. What's the difference? Gratitude.
I'm going to tell you something. If a man, I'm going to tell you what. A Christian, all they do is whine and complain and gripe and find fault and criticize. They're off track, man. They're way off track. Amen. Let me tell you something. If any man love God, he'll be thankful. I know a lot of professing Christians that I don't even doubt were saved. They're healed spiritually, but they're a long way from being whole. Amen. All right? And then again, it all hinges on gratitude. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 5. Bible says, if any man love God, same is known of him, and he's sure worthy of our love. Amen. 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 If any man loves God, he'll be thankful. He'll be known for it. Hebrews chapter 13. Whatever I said, 13 is what I meant. This happens all the time to evangelists. It's no big deal. Hebrews 13. Verse 15. Notice what it says. By him. By who? Jesus Christ. That's the context. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Sacrifice of praise. Why in the world would it be a sacrifice to praise God? I'm going to answer that for you. I'm going to tell you why. Because your flesh, my flesh, everybody's flesh would rather think about, worry about, compliment, defend, entertain itself than give thanks, than offer praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let me tell you something tonight. Not only does unthankfulness disappoint God, as if that's not bad enough, it prevents anyone else from knowing that you love God. You just appear to love yourself like everybody else. That's not what we're supposed to be known for. Our battle cry is not me first. Our battle cry is Jesus first. Dr. Ruckman explained the word joy by like this. Jesus, others, and then you. We got it backwards. I don't even know what Y-O-J spells. I don't want to know. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Bible says this. In everything. In everything what? Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know Christians, they're wandering in the wilderness of trying to find the will of God. I know guys that have been in every ministry there is, tried it for a little while, and one even wrote a book, Searching for the Will of God. I gave him some advice one day. I said, it's in the Bible. Read your Bible. Right there's the Bible. It says in everything, give thanks. I'm going to tell you something. You got to love God to do that. Because sometimes things happen. I'm talking about the Christians that tell good people that there's no way you can explain. I've seen things happen to believers. I couldn't believe it when Brother Hanstein got diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. What a horrible way to die. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, that gal right there never failed to give glory to God, thank God for His goodness, and that inspired me and many other Christians. I wrote her name next to Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. I wrote Susan Hanstein there 4 years before I ever married her because of the example that she was in our church doing during an unbelievable trial when my friend and Bible teacher was fighting for his life and eventually went on to glory. I'm going to tell you something. You got to love God to give God thanks for everything, anything. But if you will, if you've learned to during the rough times, not the good times, people around you will notice. You know, when we come apart at the seams just like everybody else, when things don't go right, where in the world is God in that? And that's what the world's watching. They're not watching when everything's going great. Okay, you're praise Jesus. Buddy, it's where the rubber meets the road. That's where your testimony kicks in. That's what causes people to see they have got something I don't have. If you can in everything give God thanks when things are out of control, then that'll become what you're known for. If any man love God, the Bible says the same is known of him. I think where a lot of people have dropped the ball, we talked about last night, the main thing. A lot of people have forgotten that the main thing is to give thanks to God continually. Amen. And we'd be a lot less apt to be critical and complain and nitpick and all that stinking flesh garbage that's tearing churches apart all over America. I've seen it, man. I've seen some things since I was here last I never thought I'd see. But I realize that's just how it is, man. But it don't have to be that way. If we just maintain an attitude of gratitude. If any man love God, the same is known of him. What are you known for tonight? How about this? How about 1 John 4? This one's close to my heart. I think I mentioned motorcycle and brotherhood and all that. That was a big deal to me. It was all messed up. I get that. I understand that. I fell for a devil's counterfeit hook, line, and sinker. But brotherhood's biblical. It says in 1 John chapter 4, that's where we were. Yeah. 1 John chapter 4, let's look at verse 20. We'll read verse 19 again. It says, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, isn't that what we're talking about? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. You know, if I ask you if you love God and you say yes, that is not a lie you want to be telling. You're not supposed to lie in church. I got news for you. Or anywhere else. He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this, wait a minute, this suggestion we have from him, is that what your Bible says? It says, in this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I ask you if you love God, you say you do. I'm going to tell you what, if you love God, you'll love the brethren. Something's wrong when you don't like to be around God's people. Something's wrong. Amen. I appreciate being, man, I think we've been like one of the last couple out every night. That's the way we are. That's the way we are. We go home. We like being around God's people. I'm not just for the preaching, not just for the singing. We hang around as long as people want to hang around and talk. This is our life. Amen. I love the brethren. That in and of itself tells me that I'm really saved because, like I'm saying again, some of you are kind of odd. Told my wife one time, I said, some of those that church, they're kind of weird, aren't they? She, with all her wisdom, she said, well, honey, you got to remember, everybody's not perfectly normal like Dave Spurgeon. And you know, and I said, yeah, I guess you're right. Amen. But something's wrong, man. People that, I mean, they punch the clock, you know, that kind of thing. And as soon as it's over, man, they're out of here. Where are they going? Something's wrong. I'm going to tell you what it is. Most of the time, sin. Sin is what's going to keep you from wanting to be around people that are trying to keep sin under control. Why? Because it puts you under conviction. When a Christian's got sin in their life that they're not dealing with, here's who they want to be around. They want to be around liberal Christians. Because that's easy to look spiritual around somebody who don't know nothing. I'm not saying that to be ugly. Isn't it true? We're Bible people. It's not hard. It's not hard. Quote a verse now and then. Say, you know, pray over your food. You look like a spiritual giant. Amen. Or lost people. How easy is it to look like you're spiritual around somebody that's not even saved? Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron, and so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You got something going on in your life, need to get dealt with. You need to get around other Christians. You need to get sharpened up a little bit. You need to get that thing fixed. Amen. If any man love God, he'll love the brethren. Something's wrong if you can't forgive. Something's wrong if you can't get over something. Hey, I understand, man. People say dumb things, do dumb things. People get misunderstood. But I'm telling you what the Bible says, even if God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, there is nothing that shouldn't be able to be worked out. But like I said, I've seen some things happen the last couple of years. Our own church. God, people that love God that I served with for decades could not work out stupid stuff. I can't believe it. I'm sad about it. What do you do? I'm going to go on for God. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to do what God told us to do 20 years ago. We're going to follow. I'm a military guy. We're going to follow the last order first. And God didn't change any direction for me. And by the grace of God, we're still there. But we went from 250 to 40 by a bunch of saved people that would say just tonight, just like you, oh, I love God. But you can't work with the brethren? You can't work it out. Of course we have differences and disagreements. We're human. God gets the glory when we can get it right and work through it. Well, then what's the problem? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. The Bible says, only by, come on, pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. How you get better advice than that right there, than that book right there? Amen. I'll tell you something else I see traveling around. If you think always having something critical to say makes you spiritual, you're out of your mind. I've been in places, I see young Christians and this and that, and I'm thinking, glory to God, man, I remember when I was there. And then somebody will make a crack or a comment about how they're dressed or something they said, something like that. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're just a spiritual critic. You got the edge on, you got the market cornered on spirituality, and you're here to critique everybody. That is carnal. That's not spiritual. That's wrong. That's wicked. You're not anybody's judge. What are we doing? Judging everybody. Then the Bible says not to do that. I know there's places where it says you're supposed to, but you got to rightly divide. Get the context. Amen. My Bible said, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. I know some people, they can't even smile. I preached a message on being happy, and a guy canceled me. I went there every year, and he was so mad because I said that you can be happy. Some people get on such a negative kick, and I tried to get on a negative kick, and then I realized I wasn't going to hell, and the next thing I knew, I was happy. I ain't apologizing for it either. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I love the brethren. I love the brethren. Amen. Now, like I said, I wrote that book. I had people call me and say, well, Brother Spurgeon, we never really realized, you know, exactly what kind of life God got. And I go, I know you didn't. What do you think I'm going to do? Talk about it? A bunch of Christians? We wrote a book to reach bikers for Jesus Christ. But I've had people come to me because of something I didn't realize, because I don't have it. Haven't had it in decades. Because of cable TV, they put out specials on Discovery Channel, History Channel, about the motorcycle gangs. I didn't know that. I'd never seen one. The gang I was in it. I'm on television in some of the clips. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. I don't care. I didn't get any money from it. Amen? But to a lot of Christians, I didn't think Christians were supposed to spend all their time in front of the boob tube, but some do. And some of them, they acted surprised when they'd hear about the war with the bikers. The Hells Angels were at war with the Outlaws. I was with the Outlaws. We were winning when I left, but, you know, it doesn't matter. And devil was the only one winning that. But Christians, they were surprised that you guys all look alike. You all like doing the same thing, partying, like riding motorcycles, fist fighting, etc. It says, what's the big deal? Why were you at war with each other? We thought you were all pretty much the same. And then if you really talk to Christians very long, they think all bikers are a bunch of lowlifes. I was having a conversation with your favorite missionary the other day, at least the favorite tonight. Then when Brother Joe's home, okay, well, go. Hey, Joe, he said he's watching. Good to see you. And he said something, and I had to say, listen, I know people in motorcycle gangs that got more respect for their brothers than Christians do. I know people in some of those lifestyles that are more honorable than some Christians I know. Yeah, they're after all about the wrong thing, but they love each other. More loyalty. Amen. People were surprised. They, well, you look alike, and yet like you say, y'all like doing the same thing, and they're surprised to find out that it was in the different clubs. We were enemies. I got news for you. A lot of Christians these days have a motorcycle gang mentality. Somebody across the street can be doing the same thing we're doing, talking about the Lord, but if they're not wearing our colors, they're inferior or worse. They're the enemy. Hey, I'm against the cults, man. Anybody that's trying to say there's any way to heaven besides Jesus Christ is the enemy, is of the devil. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a lot of conflict going on in the Church of Jesus Christ that tells this world that we are shallow. It tells this world, amen, that we're just like them. Let me tell you something. If it's not evident you love God by your actions and attitude toward other Christians, doesn't it say in John 13, let me see, I wrote down 13:35, 34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, remember, sacrificially, even as I have loved you, that ye have loved one another. And then verse 35 says this, by this shall all men know. We're talking about what are you known for. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Yeah. Well, we better lose the motorcycle gang mentality. Because all the message that we're too often sending to a lost and dying world is we're just a bunch of religious hypocrites. Amen. And I didn't get religion. And I don't want religion. I got born again. I was on my way to a devil's hell and I deserved it. And I want to please Jesus Christ. And my Bible says that I ought to be thankful. And I am thankful. And my Bible says I ought to love the brethren. And I do love the brethren. Last of all, take your Bible, go to John somewhere. I'll let you know when I get back to my notes. John. It's a good book. Start at verse 1 till I get there. John 14. That's what I thought. John 14. So we're talking about loving God. Anybody love God?
Amen.
Yeah, okay, I believe you. But the Bible says, if any man love God, the same will be known of him. So if you love God, I hope you saw the passage. I hope it was clear. I'm not trying to make stuff up. If you love God, if you really love God, you'll be thankful. And that gratitude will overshadow all the other carnal junk that we have to deal with because we're in the flesh. I get that. If any man love God, he'll love the brethren because we're brethren. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, last of all, John 14, verse 15. Now, Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says this, if you love me, isn't that what we're talking about?
Yes.
If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So I want to say it like this. Many men love God. Really? He'll go by the book. This isn't open to your interpretation of what you think Christianity ought to be like. We got a Bible. And if you really love God, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, keep my commandments. So that's what I want to say. Last of all, if a man love God, any man love God, he'll go by the book. Go to John 21. John chapter 21. Verse 15. Well, we'll go with 14. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. Verse 15. And so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. All right? Verse 16. He saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. So far, so good. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter's starting to get it. And I'm going to tell you what, even in the Lord's reproof, he was kind. And he didn't front him off. Well, what about that time you denied me three times? But three times he asked him, lovest thou me? He got it. He got the message. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You know, when he told Peter that, Peter knew what he meant. Peter knew what to feed him. Peter knew what he's talking about. And I'm going to find it here, I think. In John chapter 6, and isn't this just a coincidence? And this is not after persecution, it's after hard sayings. Verse 66, John 6:66. I know that's a coincidence. From that time, many of his disciples went back. Why? Hard sayings. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What a thing. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Boy, that's a question you and I need to get a hold of right here. To whom shall we go? There ain't nothing better than Jesus. There ain't nothing out there. I was out there. Take my word for it. That world will chew you up and spit you out. Never even take your name. Amen. When the Lord told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, Peter knew what he was talking about. Talking about the word of God. Three times he said, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. But then the Lord told him to do something. And the proof of Peter's love was in doing if he would do what he was told. And so is yours. You can say all night long, I love God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll go by the book. You go by the book. You go by the book. If there's anything the devil uses against the cause of Jesus Christ, it's Christians claiming to love God and not keeping His commandments. And Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul told him this, Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, regardless of what anybody else is doing, you stay with sound doctrine. Don't make doctrine out of things that are not doctrine. Amen. That's what we do. And that causes a lot of problems. Amen? And when you start doing that, you just look like another religious kook. We better be able to go back to the book over everything that we claim we believe. You can have thoughts on things. You can have opinions on things. You can have convictions on anything you want. But at the end of the day, the rubber meets the road by what this book says. Amen. Any man really love God, he'll go by the book. Amen. Any man love God, same is known of him. What are you known for? Not in the church. Some of you are elders, some of you are deacons, some of you sing, some of you... That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about out there. I'm talking about out there in the mission field. I'm not talking about Mexico. I'm not talking about Poland. I'm talking about San Antonio. And God still wants to save Americans, doesn't He? Who do you think is going to keep the foreign missionaries on the field if Americans give up and throw in a towel and quit? Well, answer me. Nobody. It'll be over. That's why God called people like me to America. That's why God called people like you to start churches in America so we can keep this thing going. Amen. Got real quiet right there. That's all right. I'm right. If any man love God, the same is known of him. So I'm going to wrap it up. If you really love God, you'll be thankful you're not getting what you deserve. I don't care what kind of hair day you're having. At the end of the day, you can be thankful you're not getting what you deserve. And I'm not just talking about in eternity. You're not getting what you deserve here.
Amen.
You're better off than 99% of the world. If you really love God, you'll realize you're part of a big family. Like Brother Brian said, you need to lose the gang mentality. If you don't get these things, well, you better get these things fixed down here, because eternity's a long time. You will give an account for them somewhere. If you really love God, you'll realize that the Bible is way more than just a book. I said it Sunday. You've heard it. Basic instructions before leaving earth. The basic instructions before leaving earth says, ye must be born again. And I said it Sunday. Well, what does holy stand for? And somebody said recently, help others learn your basic instructions. That's what we're here for, before leaving earth. So in reality, this book right here is a love letter. It was given to us by the one that first loved us, and I've been asking if you love him, and I don't doubt that you do, but I'm trying to give you some things to think about, and I want to leave it like this, close it pretty much like this. If we were to take a poll, now for some of you it'd be at work, and for some of you it'd be at school, and for some of you it'd be in the neighborhood, and for some of you maybe we could just come to your house and get the mom over here and the dad over here and the kids over here together and say, hey, what are they known for? What would people say? What would your coworkers say? What would your classmates say? What would people say? Say, well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, yeah, they're good. They're good workers. Or they like to hunt. They like to fish. They like to golf. That makes no sense to me personally. But would anybody say, yeah, they love God. They love God. That's what you ought to be known for. That's what you ought to want to be known for. Maybe you never thought of it this wise. Maybe that's why God wanted me to bring this tonight. It's okay to enjoy different things. I'm not saying nothing like that. It's okay to excel in different things. That's okay too. But where the rubber meets the road is, what are you known for? And if we're not known for loving God, and what does that mean? Love God. That means you trust God. It means you're grateful. Amen. That means you got to do it God's way. This ain't Burger King. You follow me?
Amen.
This isn't deep stuff, man. This is my level. Here's what I know about that gal right there, for example. It's not hard to love someone that loves you. She's easy to love. I guess I am too. What do you think, honey? Okay, don't answer that. I know she's saved. All I'm saying is that it shouldn't be hard to love God. In light of the fact of how much He loves us.
Amen.
He proved it. It's not lip service with Him, man. He proved it on Calvary. Now, in all fairness, there might be somebody here tonight that doesn't love God the way I'm talking because they don't know God. And that may very well be the case. Everybody knows some things about Him, whether you're talking about God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know they're the one and the same. So I'm talking about the Lord Jesus, and maybe you know some things about Him, and it's all historical data, and we know some things about George Washington and all this stuff. But I'm telling you what, to love God, it's got to go from your head to your heart. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And there's people that have made some confession of or a profession, but have never believed unto righteousness in their heart. It's been said, there's preachers' wives, there's young people, there's men and women all over this church that would be a great privilege for them to answer any question you have, attempt to, from the Bible. Amen? You're in a great place, great position tonight. There's a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions, a lot of ideas. Amen. And we respect your opinion. You may not agree with the thing I said. And you're welcome to disagree with me. But you're in a great position tonight to see what the Bible says, what the truth of the Bible says about the most important issue there is. And I think regardless of your opinion, you could agree that if there's a life after death, if hell's real, the Bible says it is, the most important issue would be making sure you don't go to hell. And what a privilege it'd be to show you. Amen. And if, you know, that doesn't convince you, that's fine too. We're glad you're here. We're not thinking any less of you. What I guess I'm trying to do is offer the most unique opportunity ever given to a man, woman, boy, or girl to see from the Word of God how they can know that their sins are gone. What could be more important to know than that? Because this life's going by. I'm going to be 66 on Sunday. Have I mentioned it's my birthday yet? I think I have. I know, you don't do birthday parties. I do. So, Sunday afternoon, get the hat, not the pointy one. Okay. Are you saved here tonight?
Amen.
You love God? Is it what you're known for? Don't answer. Because I don't want to make a liar out of anybody. If there's one of these areas that you need some spiritual attention given to so that it'll be true. Maybe you've let little things overshadow the big thing. Let's just say, God help me get that thing sorted out, straightened out, in perspective. And if you want to try to tell me that nobody here needs to get right with God or anything about anything in 10 days, here's what I know. Why are we having a meeting?
Yeah.
Why are we even doing this? Because we need it.
Amen.
We need to provoke one another. We need to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God, bearing witness to His book, and in these areas or any other area. You need to talk to God. Now's the time. Let's stand. The altar's open.